your Bible, and we pray that as we look into some of this, that you would open our hearts and our minds to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as you probably know, on the third Sunday of every month, we are looking at a different holy habit. And I've got a list of at least 15, and the list is growing all the time. So we're carrying on this journey together. And this morning we've reached the holy habit of giving. But before we look at the holy habit of giving, I wanted to perhaps just make sure that all of us here understand where our giving goes. Because every single penny we received is carefully spent on the mission of St. Mary's and those around us. Hopefully there's some graphs coming up. Excellent. Wonderful. So, simply put, St. Mary's and Christchurch giving and spending looks a little bit like this. So this is the spending. So you can see that we're budgeting to spend £217,000 this year. And like most organisations, that's mainly on people. So the blue section is the bit that we send to the diocese, our parish share, and then they give it back to us in spades. So that pays for, basically, pays for Stephen, the wonderful Stephen. It pays for our curate. It pays for me. It pays for Ruth, our family's missioner. It pays for Dave, our student. And it also pays for the bishop, the archdeacon, the whole ministry division and the mission division. So our children's advisor, our young people's advisor and our Fresh Expressions advisor are all paid through that as well. So in fact, it's a great deal for us. We do really well out of this. We get back a lot more financially than we give to the diocese. But that's what that blue chunk is. The orange chunk pays for our office team, which is basically Kirsty and Elizabeth, and also the costs of running the office. So that's the orange chunk. So you can see the vast majority of our spending is on people. The rest of it, there's a little bit in there for buildings. It's actually quite a small chunk, just 12%, which keeps this building going, the heating, the maintenance, and also the halls. There's a tiny fraction there, 2% for services, which is basically, as far as I can understand, the bread and the wine and the service sheets and that sort of thing. And then there's another chunk, which is 5% goes to evangelism, which is our outreach to St. Mary's School and to the other schools around us, for example, and so on. Now, there is a chunk in there which is 10%, which is our tithe, if you like, as a church to our mission projects. And there's a number of things in that. For example, the food bank. We give a good chunk to CAP, the debt centre. So we're the lead church supporting the debt centre and the CAP debt centre. And so we put a good chunk of our giving into that. The Children's Society, to Kenya with Love, which is an educational charity, Potter's Village. And also this year, for the first time, putting quite a big chunk towards Elisa Pike's work in Brazil, where she is helping charities which are rescuing women from slavery and prostitution, which is a wonderful thing to be doing, supporting Elisa out there. So that's basically where our money goes. It's a finely honed budget. Peers make sure every single penny is spent the right way. And all the things we feel were led by God to do are supported by that spending. So, for example, the Monday Club, Creative Minds, our Thursday morning market day community, our outreach to children and parents, specifically at St. Mary's School, but also the Isle of Ely School, Ely College and St. John's School. It helps us connect well with our baptism families, our wedding and funeral families, helps us run alpha courses, puzzling questions, marriage and relationships courses, parenting courses, and also outreach to the new housing developments around us. It enables us to celebrate the church year really well, Advent, Christmas, Lent, the season we're just entering, Easter, Remembrance, and it enables us to train all our volunteers to carry out their roles, from safeguarding on one side to the specific skills they need to do the work they're doing in Sunday school or with our teenagers, for example. So in short, the giving, the spending that we do enables us to be a generous and visible church and do all the things we feel God is calling us to do in Ely. So where does this £217,000 come from? So that's the next slide. So you can see that there's one big chunk and a few little ones. The blue and the orange chunks is 87% of our income, 190,000 is the budget this year, is what you and I give to the church, including the gift aid that comes in. There's a tiny bit of rental income from the church and the rooms. There's a little bit of income from events like weddings, funerals, and so on. And there's a tiny, these days, amount of interest on our savings. But basically, what we can see from that is that pretty much all of our income depends on us in this room, the 9 o'clock service, and the Christchurch congregation. And this year, as a leadership team and the PCC, we've prayerfully and carefully set a spending budget for 2018, which is 26,500 higher than our current income. We've done this every year since I've been here. It's just the scale is slightly different this year. Every year I've been here so far, we've set a budget which is higher than our income, and the two have met somewhere in the middle. The expenditure and the income have met somewhere in the middle each year. But this year, we're planning to spend £26,000 more than our income. So it's a significant challenge for us, and it sets the context for our fifth habit, holy habit, which is giving, tithing. So on to the sermon itself. Money tells us so much about ourselves, doesn't it? What excites us and what frustrates us? Money creates a moment of truth in our lives. If you want to know what I really value, what I really hope for in my life, what my real priorities are, don't just ask me, look at my bank statement. If I were to ask you, what's your biggest priority in life? We might say, well, it's God. I'm all out for God. But would the way we handle our money confirm what our mouth says? Our God is a generous God, and he wants us to be generous, just like him. To live, to give. And the holy habit he calls us to embrace this is called tithing. Now, some of you may already practice tithing, but if you're new to God's church, it may sound like a crazy idea. Why would anybody ever do anything like that? Well, let's take a little look. Tithing comes from the Hebrew word, and it means a tenth part. So the practice of tithing is giving 10% of what I'm given, or what I earn, or what my income is, back to God. So what does the Bible have to say about it? Well, quite a lot. And it doesn't really put it in the optional category either. Leviticus 27:30 says, "A tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord." So God doesn't say, give it if you feel like it. He says, the tithe actually is already mine. Now, of course, the reality is that the whole earth is God's already. Everything we have because of God. But God is saying, I want to introduce you to that generosity. It's the way my kingdom works. So the reading we heard that Lisa read in Chronicles, what we notice is that they brought the tithe. It doesn't say they gave the tithe. Malachi 3:10 and other places say the same thing. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. You see, we cannot give what we do not own. We can bring it, but we cannot give it. In the Bible, people often give more than the tithe, but the tithe they bring into God's storehouse. So Deb and I bring the tithe of all our income into this church, because this is our spiritual home. I have to admit, we had to make a little adjustment recently because we dipped actually below that level. But we do now tithe. And what we find is that the tradition of tithing produces a generosity in our hearts. Nobody plans to be ungenerous. But if we put our expenses first, our expenses will increase until there's nothing left. And we find we only have remains to give to God. And we find that God doesn't do the leftover thing. That's not his plan. We're not being obedient to God, and neither tithing or generosity will ever happen if we're doing the leftover thing. God's people instead are called to practice first fruits. The Bible was written when the economy was largely agrarian, of course, and they would honour God immediately from their harvest, from the fields. Proverbs 3 says, honour God with the first fruits of your crops, then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. So the idea is that when I get paid, the very first thing I do, the first portion, I set aside to give to God. I don't know how many of you listen to Martin Lewis on the BBC. He's the moneysavingexpert.com guy. And he's, by the way, he's a big supporter of CAP, the Christian debt centre that we're running here and across the country. He says the best way is for those of us who are paid to run our finances, those of us who are paid on the last day of the month, he recommends that we create direct debits for our fixed spending items on the first day of the following month, so the next day, in other words. And then everything else that's in our bank after that, we know we can spend. So Deb and I do that with our giving. We have set up a direct debit with the parish giving scheme, and basically we get paid, well, I get paid on the last day of the month, Deb a little few days before that, and then on the first day of the month, that direct debit leaves our bank account and goes to the church. And that's that, first fruits, tithed. So tithe is not just a tenth of our income, it's the first tenth of our income. In Jesus' time, when farmers planted a crop of new fruit trees, and when the first tree began to bear fruit, they would tie a reed around it and say, I'm going to offer everything from this tree to God. So Deb and I feel what God is saying to us is that 90% of our income with God's blessing is worth more to us than 100% of our income without it. But surely you might say, I need to give the first fruits to the building society or to my rent collector. Well, yes, I'm sure you should. But the mortgage company isn't quite in the same position to bless you as God is. I don't know whether you've noticed, but I've never had an email from MasterCard saying, hey, if you pay us the first, we'll bless you. In fact, MasterCard actually wants me to pay them late so that the interest begins to mount and then I end up blessing them. It sounds hard, doesn't it? But the best way to be able to afford to tithe is to begin to tithe. If you wait to tithe, and there always will be a good reason to wait, believe me, you will probably never tithe. Here's the thing about money. Money is never really about money. Money is really about trust. What and who I really trust. And it doesn't take any trust to give God our leftovers. It doesn't take any trust at all. Tithing is never only about the money. After all, says Bono, the God I know isn't short of money. We all live by faith, by trust in something. We all have some system of belief, and we are controlled by that. That's just the truth of the human condition. Bob Dylan famously said, we have to serve somebody. And I would suggest serving God is the best way to be, offering him our first fruits because he is a faithful God. Now, tithing will test our faith, but tithing will build our faith as well. It's a test and it's a faith builder. Deuteronomy says, give generously without a grudging heart. Then because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything you put your hand to. And this generous approach is endorsed by Jesus. Matthew 23, we heard that reading earlier. Jesus criticizes some of the religious leaders. They were tithing on their spices. I don't know what your spices look like in your kitchen. I guess they had more spices than we do on an average day. But they were tithing on their spices, and yet they were abusing people around them. They were exploiting people around them. And Jesus says, you should have practiced justice without neglecting the giving on your spices. So money is about the heart. And of course, in Jesus, we see the ultimate expression of how generous God is. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Jesus is God's firstborn, his first fruits. his gift to us. So what happens if I tithe? Well, the simple answer is that you will be blessed. The Bible's remarkably clear about this. Malachi, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. Then all nations will call you blessed. But please take care. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying this morning. This is not a self-centered, tricky way to get rich. There's no such thing as a prosperity gospel. There's no tap you can switch on and off. This is definitely not that. Generosity is just the way the kingdom of God works. When you take a concrete step into generosity, you are swimming with the tide of God, of the Holy Spirit, of the divine. So giving into this family of St. Mary's is a blessing in itself. For me, knowing that I'm part of the St. Mary's adventure, not just by being here, but by contributing in all sorts of ways, is such a blessing. If we look back to the early church, when Jesus rose from the dead, the Holy Spirit created this community of supernatural joy, irrepressible generosity. And they said, that early church, we've just got to express our love and our joy because we're a community of resurrection and we know we can trust God. And they did. They were so generous. It's no accident that the word miserable comes from the word miser. To be a miser is to live in misery. And you are robbing yourself and God. You might be scared and worried by the whole idea. But God says the most amazing thing. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord. See if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven. God is saying to us, I know you get scared. I know all about that. But I am so determined that you become generous rather than stingy that I invite you to test me in this. Elsewhere in the Bible, we're told not to test God because it's like withholding our trust from him, putting him on probation. It's a bit presumptuous, isn't it? But in this case, God seems to be saying, I'm so determined that you become generous. Test me in this, or your money back. Give it a go. So in this holy habit, I'm encouraging you to take the St. Mary's Tithe Challenge. Try it for the next 90 days. Bring your first fruits into St. Mary's. And if after 90 days you're not feeling convinced, not feeling part of something greater, not feeling blessed, then just go back to normal. We don't want anyone to make a decision out of pressure, so we'd like you to go away and think about it. Pray about it, which of course was last month's holy habit. But if you do start tithing, some of you, 90 days from now, I guarantee, will be saying, thank you. I didn't know what it was really to trust God with my money. I didn't know the joy that would come from putting God first in my life. Because in giving, we're joining our brothers and sisters in the church community, in investing in what God is doing through his church, as we saw on the slides earlier. And there's a corporate joy in getting in the scrum and joining in. As normal, I've got some discussion questions, so hopefully we can display those. So just for a few minutes, some questions to think about. Choose which ones you'd like to look at. Do you feel God is a generous God? Why is that? And if we're made in his image, should we reflect that generosity? In what ways? Or if you want to take the brave one, how do you instinctively react to the thought of tithing? Has the message this month changed your thinking in any way? Probably leave the second one till you get home, but you're very welcome to try it if you want. So just have a few minutes having a bit of a think together. Just talk to the people next to you.